Hi everyone, my name is Adam Small.
And I'm Jake Moses.
Welcome to our podcast, The Performer's Pathway.
A podcast adventure to help guide and navigate your musical life and career.
As a prelude to every episode, we'd like to remind our listeners that this podcast is about the other side of the musical coin. One side, which you see a lot at our website, mymusicmasterclass.com, is what to do in the practice room. And the other side is how to maximize your talent and skills in the real world, and that's what this podcast is about. Also, if you have a few extra seconds to spare,
which is technically only 3 beats at 60 BPM,
please subscribe to our show on your podcast app of choice and rate us 5 whole stars. You can leave a comment about absolutely anything too. Go nuts. That small act of kindness will really help us expand our audience and continue to create new episodes.
And lastly, word of mouth is always super helpful. So if you like what you hear, please tell the world. That being said, let's trek further down the path of
My Music Startup. We recently did an episode on being a backing artist versus being a boss, meaning the person hiring musicians. We talked about the pros and cons related to being a backing musician versus a band leader. Now let's take being a boss to a whole different level. Let's start our own company. So, as some of you know, I've started 3 companies in my life so far.
I know that My Music Masterclass, but what are the other 3?
Right. So, My Music Masterclass, we started in 2012. That was an S Corp. Adam Small Music, actually, I incorporated myself later on, a few years after that.
You incorporated yourself into your own business?
I did. I incorporated myself. No, it was under the advice of my accountant. So I made myself an S Corp under Adam Small Music, and that basically covered all my performing gigs, recording, composition things, my licensing things, and any production that I was doing. And so at the time, it made sense because I was paying less tax being incorporated, and also it protected me legally in some realms. But, you know, we can talk about that in another time because it's just, you know, it's just vast.
Yeah, I was already lost, basically.
No problem. And the third company I made was recent. Actually, it's My Music Masterclass again, but I had to reform it in New York instead of California. When you make a company in a state, you can't just move it to another state when you leave. You can either keep it in that state, which I did for several years with an address that you have in California and a registered agent, or you can dissolve it and move it to a new state and restart it. And anyway, again, this is outside of the scope. I don't want to get boring with these details, but if this is interesting to you or if you need to know for some reason, please look into it more. So before we start, I want to say that we're not going to talk about incorporating yourself to save on taxes and protect yourself legally. That's what I said I did with Adam Small Music. It's true. But what we're going to talk about here is how to, you know, be a startup founder. So let's get moving. The first thing I want to talk to you is about your concept. You know, this is the most important part, right? If your idea sucks, it's just not going to work no matter what.
I mean, Shake Weight worked, so it's not entirely true.
Shake Weight had a really good infomercial, and they had a really good South Park episode. I remember that.
That's
but,
true.
But I don't know.
It was all their promo.
True. But, you know, exercise gear is not really my forte, so I think I'm going to talk about something I know a little more about. Music? So anyway, as far as our concept goes, here are some points to consider. So you've got to know your industry. You're a musician, right? At least probably most of the people listening to this podcast are musicians. But what do you know about the exact business you want to start? You know, for instance, My Music Masterclass, it focuses on music education, right? And I went to music school, but that's not enough. You know, I also checked out numerous online resources and other sites before deciding that I could fill an actual void at the time. I found a niche that hadn't been addressed successfully, you know, in my opinion. And I made a business plan. I did a lot of research. I tallied the total number of students enrolled in music universities or programs in the world. Do you remember when we did that? That was crazy.
Yeah, there was like 1,800 guitar players at Berkeley. I remember it. And I almost
just
walked
out. Yeah, at one point.
I was just like, I can't do any of this anymore.
No, but we literally looked up all the, you know, attendance from music students in every major college and program in the world and figured out how many people were interested in this kind of thing. Anyway, we used all the available data to do the best estimates we could. And then I went online and found all the music education websites that were doing what they were doing. And I decided that I thought we could do it different and a little better. And I found a space for our concept, and it was kind of just waiting for me, you know? The next point that's super important is, why is your product needed? I mean, are there really a fair number of people that need your product or service? This is something that people often forget, right? Do you have a super specific concept, like an ear training course for Siamese cats, or an instrument tuner that works underwater?
Oh, that's actually not too bad. That would be kind of
right. Cool. And if it's that specific, before you dive in, right, make sure that there are enough Siamese cat owners that, you know, or scuba diving musicians that want to buy your thing, you know?
We're deep with this business plan.
Yeah, it's super deep. And if it's something that's more broad, you know, then you have to see if it's been done. You have to see if it's been done and if it's done well. And that brings us to our next point.
I'm just thinking of a diving tuning company that would just not do it well. Like, yeah, these guys do it, but they suck. We could do them
it
better.
It leaks. Yeah. Okay. The next thing is do research for competitors, right? And you have to see if it's already been done. This is what I just talked about. So,
especially
let's say you
names.
Have a great idea.
Like,
what's that?
Before you name your company, people always like, they never look it up until way later. They're like, oh, shit, we can't use that name.
Yeah, I mean, wait, should that have been number one here? The first point is don't name your company something that's already been named.
Dude, it happens all the time, especially now. It's like a billion companies, you know?
Oh, man. I should have said that as number one. That's a really good point, and I didn't think I had to say that. But now
that you said it. We went through it with the podcast thing. Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're not trying to make money with the podcast thing. We're just trying to give information to the world. Anyway. Do research for your competitors and see if it's been done, right? Let's say you have a good idea and you believe that it's needed. Has it been done already? And if so, how can you do it better? Like, how many versions of your idea are out there? In our case, there were a fair amount of instructional websites online. But again, I felt like none of them represented what I wanted to create. And I saw my place for my music masterclass and a need, so I jumped on it. If your idea is to make like a musician social network, for instance, which Jake and I have actually talked about. Yeah. And people are always trying to do this. It's crazy how many times I've heard this. But first, you have to realize that there's a lot of huge companies that are making social networks already, like Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and TikTok and LinkedIn and whatever. And then you have to factor in all the music-specific social networks that have already tried to get a piece of that pie. And as Jake has talked to me about before, because when we first started My Music Masterclass, we actually were saying, oh, maybe we could do something social. And Jake said, does the world really need another social network? Yeah. Like, do people really want to log in to something else?
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. It's
and
just too much.
And my answer was kind of like, no, you're right. But I'm not going to answer this yes or no for you, because these are tough questions, and if you had a great concept, you know, maybe it can work. But if you're going to tackle something as big as a social network, for instance, you have to do a lot of research, and you should have a lot of money, because if you're going to build cutting-edge architecture and tech so that people can really embrace this, and you have all these cool features that musicians can use, it's going to have to be coded super custom, and you're going to need a huge server, and it's going to cost a ton of money.
Yeah. Those cats cost more than musicians.
Oh yeah. They cost a lot more than musicians. All right. The next point is, are people buying what you're selling? You know, if someone can get something free, don't try to sell it. And that's what people said to us when we first started My Music Masterclass. They said, YouTube has got all this stuff. You know, how are you going to compete with that? And I said, we're going to have to do it better than YouTube. And we're going to be really specific with our artists that we choose. We're going to cater towards musicians that are motivated and a higher level and really want to learn. You know, that's kind of what made our niche, and it worked. Otherwise, people wouldn't pay for it.
Yeah.
But if you're looking to sell something like play-along tracks, for instance, you know, I'd investigate YouTube first, then the Abersolds. If you don't know what Jamie Abersold play-alongs are, then you should look into that if you're thinking of making play-alongs. Then there's apps that can do that now too. And then I figure out, you know, what can I do better than all these apps and play-alongs that have already been done? And then, more importantly, if people care that it was better, you know? Like, if you invent a toothbrush and it lasts forever. And that's like a miracle of science. You can win a Nobel Prize for the forever toothbrush. But most people in the world don't care about buying a new toothbrush once in a while.
A little aside on that, you know that.
Okay, please.
No, like people didn't, like brushing your teeth did not take off. It wasn't like some medical thing that people did. It basically started working when the guy made the toothpaste foam, because it doesn't need to foam at all. But he made that happen. And when he made that switch, it was like marketing gold, because it makes you like think that you're doing all this stuff because it foams and you're like, oh yeah, this is definitely working. Without that, people were not brushing their teeth. It wasn't like, that's what made it happen. Marketing.
Well, man, there you go. You see, Jake just talked about someone that created this amazing toothpaste that was in need. It was in need. Look at that.
Yeah.
Genius. But you have to do your research. That's kind of the point about all this, is that if you have something that is better, it doesn't really matter unless people care that it's better. There are a lot of products that are better, you know, but do people need a better? So, you know, are they happy with what they have? Anyway, you have to do the research. The next thing I want to talk about is this even possible? Is your idea possible? You know, people often, you know, tell me ideas about this crazy shit and it sounds amazing. And, you know, until you ask the person how you're planning on doing it. And for instance, if you say you're going to make an app that connects all the working musicians in the world and has live audition and gig availability updates for legitimately good gigs, telling you what opportunities are happening everywhere in real time, and that you can apply and audition for these gigs just from your phone without leaving your bed and just hanging out. I mean, if you break it down, how is this possible? How are you ever going to pull this off? The truth is that, you know, auditions aren't really publicized like this. Musical directors don't typically post anywhere. It's secretive.
Especially
only
now.
Only a handful of... Yeah,
more and
totally.
More. I mean, it's just, they just hire who they know.
Yeah, exactly.
Much easier.
Yeah, only a handful of cats are invited, and that's like, you know, it's basically the stuff we've talked about in the podcast before. You know, getting on the scene, networking, making friends, being a badass. That's what you have to do, you know. But my point is really that this idea sounds awesome, but it's not possible. So don't do it, you know?
Well, I mean, it's almost like a lot of those like music licensing, you know, we'll put your music in films and stuff. It's like, how much access do you actually have to music like supervisors?
Absolutely, man. And, you know, I've talked to Jake about this I'm going to say off camera, even though we're not on camera.
Yeah.
But I've done a lot of licensing, and you may know that. You know, I've done a lot of composition and licensing, and I know a lot of music supervisors, and I've had a lot of work relationships with them over the years. And not one of them has ever needed to post on one of those services that gives musicians leads for placements in media or film or TV. Another example of something that's kind of not possible is when music education sites say that, let's say, the artist who made the video is going to correspond with the customer and give them feedback whenever they want via a video portal or email or something like that. Like, don't get me wrong, this is doable, and it has been done if the artist isn't super busy, right? The musician's not touring or gigging or teaching or doing all these things or has a family.
You can't just promise that that's always going to happen.
You know, all of our artists on My Music Masterclass are swamped with gigs, tourings, recording, teaching, just like all the stuff I just said. They don't really have any time, and they wouldn't sign up for that. If I mentioned that, they'd crack up. They'd think I was joking, you know?
Yeah, it's a great idea, but it's just not feasible.
Right, but it's a marketing thing, and people, you know, as a matter of fact, there's another masterclass site online which will remain nameless, and it claimed that their artists were going to answer all the questions from the customers, students, right, on their private forum, but they didn't ask the artists permission, or they didn't tell them they had to do this. One of my friends, who's a great musician, I won't even say what he plays, I don't even want to give you a hint. But he's famous, and he found out that people were posting questions in this forum, and the dude that ran the site was just responding as if he were him, as if he were the artist. And, you know, this is wrong in so many ways.
And again, it's all in, like, the name of marketing, which is
right.
Why it has bad connotations to it. Marketing does not have to be bad.
But, you know, the word travels fast, and that company is now, you know, people know that they're shady. Musicians definitely know, and it's not a good look. But this kind of goes back to, is it possible? And they were promising something that wasn't really possible, given that they wanted to use A-list artists. And if you want to use A-list artists, they're not going to be that available for that. You know, it's hard enough to get them to do a shoot when they're in town, you know, let alone video correspondence, you know, talking about your right hand technique. You know, that's difficult, especially for the breakdown and the money that's involved here. Also, lastly, in this is it possible category, if we talk about music education websites again, if you want a fully blown 4K video with multiple angles, you want living notation, meaning that you can click on the notation and on the screen, it'll start the video from a certain part. You want every note transcribed, professional lighting, makeup, a rented studio, you know, play along tracks available for every part.
Wait, like, you're not going to make me do this, are you? are you trying to break news to me?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. This is doable. All right. I'm not going to say this isn't doable, but each video will take you a lot of time and money to produce.
Yeah, you'll need a crew for that.
Yeah, you need a crew. So if your goal is to make a video every week, that's not possible. You know, unless you had Google working for you or something like that.
Google works for no man.
Google works for no man. But so you have to figure out what your demographic is and make a sensible plan that works within your means. Will you recoup your money spent on that huge production if you can only release one video every like 6 weeks? Or is it better to be more prolific and, you know, get rid of some of those bells and whistles and just put really good content out? You know, you have to make that decision, but you have to do the math and figure out how much you can release, how much you can charge, like how much are the musicians willing to pay for your videos? And are you ever going to recoup that budget? And do you need to release things more regularly? And there's a lot of math involved.
You probably should have led with the whole math thing in the beginning of this episode. You just wasted everyone's time, Adam. No one's going to do any of this.
No one's going to do any math.
Like, do some math, people. You got to do math? What the fuck?
Just do a little math. All right, let's move on. Let's say your concept is sound. It's a good idea. You feel that you found an untapped area in a place where you feel optimistic. It's technically doable. What are some things to consider? First, how much money do you have to start this thing? You know, when you have to pay to form a business, get lawyers for contracts, build a website, I don't know, graphic design equipment, employees, like, do you need a loan? And if you do, you're going to need a solid business plan with projections and assets and all the things that go into that. I didn't mention this before, but you should definitely make a business plan regardless. It'll help you figure out where you're going. It'll poke holes in your plan. You can have other people read it. Also, if you want to apply for an SBA loan.
Yeah, you need a business plan, right?
You need a business plan. You need projections. You need assets. If you've been running for a minute, you need some P&L statements. You need other financial documents. There are people that can help you, and there are small business associations that really do help people. They're not for profits. They'll help you for free, get your stuff together and figure out how to do this. But, you know, there's only so much room in this podcast for information, but you can find it. But when it comes down to it, you're going to have to convince bankers and underwriters that you're going to pay this money back. That's what happens when you get a loan, right? So again, with the math, I know, Jake, you love math. Wait, though.
What did you say? Pay back?
Yeah, exactly. You have to pay it back or you go to jail. No, or you lose your company.
You do not pass go. You do not collect $100.
But, you know, there was that guy in L.A., right? Remember that? He had a band and kept getting fake loans.
No, wait, what?
He went to jail. He was crazy. Anyway, I won't even say
that. How do you get a fake loan?
Oh, he forged documents.
Oh, man.
He forged financial statements. He got like $7 million. And he's in jail for the rest of his life.
I remember hearing something about that. That was
wild. And he would hire all kinds of L.A. musicians. And it was like... It was called like something over Paris, like, you know, I forget. Anyway,
that's awesome.
All right. So your math has got to be rock solid, you know, or you can try crowdfunding campaign, you know, but don't expect huge investments here unless you have a lot of wealthy friends or relatives. I mean, we raised 10 grand at my music masterclass during a Kickstarter. back in 2012.
Did we raise 10 grand or did we just stop drinking whiskey for a week?
Well, you know, it's, I do drink the good stuff, you know, Jim Beam. No, I'm just kidding. No, I don't drink that stuff. You know, we raised the money and, because we ended up doing pretty much everything ourselves except for the things we couldn't do, we made it work. And that kind of, you know, brings me to the next one.
Plus we actually, I feel like we kind of gave that back in a way with that competition that we had, because we get a lot of really great gear from a lot of companies.
That's true.
Yeah. We gave out like 3 recording studios, like little mini recording studios. That was fun.
We did. Yeah, we did that. We ran this promo, this talent competition, and it was super fun. It was kind of stressful, but you know, we were able to get a lot of products involved and a lot of and a lot of cool stuff, and people donated a lot of cool prizes. All right, next is, do you understand what you're getting into? That's a good question. What will the day-to-day tasks look like in order to keep your business afloat? You know, I'll just answer this in terms of what we do here. You know, I have to answer emails, customer service. You got to deal with your finances. You got to do the books unless you hire someone to do that. We got to make videos, produce fresh content, edit, film, go out and film, promote, do ads, social media stuff. Then you got to do the technical stuff like secure your system, your website, firewalls. You have to fix your web coding to update to new standards and things change, update plugins. Sometimes your server will have different problems in different countries and you have to fix that. You have to make sure that your server works in different countries as well if you want to be international. We stream our videos with HLS, which is adaptive, meaning that if you're on a slow connection, like YouTube does, you know, it'll adapt to how fast your internet is. We also do subtitles. There's software updates, plugin updates. We got to keep our site fast and optimized or else Google gives you a bad PageRank score. You have to stay on top of new tech and new ways of learning. Am I saying too much here? You know, I mean, it's a lot of stuff, but I'm talking to no one. I'm just talking to a microphone. But
I was just thinking about Terminator that whole time.
Sometimes you have to update Skynet and make sure that it doesn't want to kill you. No?
Yeah, we use a server called Skynet.
It's a T-1000 version. But the point is that these are just things that we have to do every day, and this is just half of them. We do stuff all the time, but you have to be aware of what you're doing so that you don't just start a business and say, oh shit, I didn't realize I have to do all this or do this. Like there's a lot to it, and not all of it's glamorous, but if you love what you're doing, then you take the good with the bad. The next thing is, do you need to hire people or can you do it yourself? So think about all the things you need to do here honestly for the business. There's a big difference in terms of how much you're going to owe in taxes. If someone's a subcontractor with a 1099 or an employee, you can ask your accountant. It's kind of a big thing.
If you don't want to do any of that, you can listen to our next podcast called Tax Evasion.
Tax Evasion, exactly. Wait a second. Don't say that. It's not true at all, please. But, you know, also with insurance, which I'll talk about later as another cost, you have to have workers' comp insurance if you have an employee that's someone besides yourself. And that's just an extra cost. So it's tough.
I feel like we should only do Coltrane videos on the site and then it can be a religious thing and we won't have to pay taxes.
The Church of Coltrane?
Yeah.
And this next point just rolls into what I just said. You know, do you understand the basic costs of doing business? You know, payroll tax, that's another one. A liability insurance, which is another insurance you're just going to have to get for your business. Workers' comp, which I said, you know, if you have an employee besides yourself. And, you know, accounting. Are you going to have someone do the books? Or just, you know, you need an accountant. You can't just do this with TurboTax. Unless you're really, really, really good at accounting, because it's a lot more involved than just doing personal finance. Okay, you've made it this far. You got a great idea, a good demographic. You understand what's going to take financially and physically to make this happen, right? So what are you going to need to do now? You got to incorporate. So you can be a C Corp, an S Corp, an LLC. You know, we're an S Corp, My Music Masterclass. You know, I recommend hiring a person that sets up businesses and you can ask them questions. That's what I've done a couple times. And you don't want to just do this on LegalZoom. This is just my opinion. But usually you can ask your accountant and they'll know someone that specializes in setting up businesses, and they'll make sure they do it right and do all the forms. Plus, they'll just give you that advice of what you have to do. Like, for instance, you need your own bank account for a business, and some people wouldn't know that. I mean, maybe a lot of people do know that, but you have to set up a bank account for your business, and it has to be under that EIN number, right? The social for your business. Anyway, there's lots of stuff like that, but I would recommend getting someone that knows what they're doing to help. The next thing is get an accountant that's good with small businesses and has experience. Don't do this yourself unless you're really like an accountant yourself, in my opinion. It's not a simple thing. And also, I prefer getting an accountant with actual small business experience. That's just me, but I've found that they seem to know more about the ins and outs of how things work rather than an accountant that doesn't do that type of thing.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to leave any holes and stuff like that. That can come really, bite you back
really
later.
Don't. No, you don't. So the accountant will cost more than when you were doing your personal returns because there's a lot more involved. There's also a way that your personal finances and your company, they kind of go hand in hand if you're the 100% owner of your company. So your personal return and your business, they're related. And this is why it costs more. I can't get too much into it because it's involved. Plus, I'm not really an accountant, but that's the deal. And you'll see. Anyway, be aware. So the next thing you want to do is you want to understand tax planning and you want to save for that time of the year if possible. Again, I don't want to get too much into this because I'm not an accountant, but what I do know is that you're going to have to pay state, federal, and payroll taxes. And if you don't have enough money in your account for that, you're screwed. So you want to make sure that you understand that's coming. And, you know, you can talk to your accountant about this too.
That's a general tip for just taxes in general, especially for like touring musicians.
Yeah.
You know, you come back off the road, you start spending all that money. Then all of a sudden you owe like $8,000 in taxes.
Yeah. I mean, if people aren't taking taxes out of your paycheck, which is typically the case in our field, then you got to deal with that reality.
Yeah. It's never fun.
It shouldn't be a surprise. That's what it is.
And we should definitely do a tax episode. Actually, I have someone that would be great for that, but that's a different thing.
All right. I'd love to. Last part of this section is, you know, you'll need a new bank account. Like I said before, and credit cards for your business. You know, you also need to set up some kind of merchant. So on our site, we use PayPal and Stripe for My Music Masterclass. PayPal, Stripe is for credit cards. PayPal's for PayPal. PayPal also does credit cards, but we like to use Stripe for that. It's just our personal preference. They both work fine. We also use Coinbase for cryptocurrency, which is something you may or may not want to do. But anyway, these are e-commerce options. And if you're selling things online, you have to figure out how to make it as easy as possible for people to buy things. And these are some big ones. And there's some others you can check out too. All right. Now, I talked about a lot of stuff here. And this episode's really meant to give you kind of an overview and some realistic guidance so you don't jump into something you can't handle. You know, I really just scratched the surface. So if you're serious about making your own business, do a lot of research before diving in. You know, do Google searches, read books, get professional guidance. And lastly, like if you decide to move forward, good luck with your new company. And I hope this was helpful. Questions, comments, episode ideas, hate mail. You can get in touch with us by contact form, email, or voicemail, all of which are available at our website, theperformerspathway.com. If one of your questions or topics makes it into the podcast, with your consent, of course, you'll receive a shiny new $10 gift card for use on mymusicmasterclass.com. That's our sister website, which contains over 600 original educational videos from your musical heroes. Look forward to hearing from you.